everybody. Welcome back to The Breakdown. I don't know if you're listening to this in your car. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're cooking. Maybe you're getting ready for bed. But regardless, we are happy that you are back with us today. Sunday was absolutely awesome. It was a special blessing. We had Bishop Siddharshan Kamanapali with us from MANA International Ministries. Real blessing to hear from him. And today, I am joined by someone who is making her Breakdown debut, Mrs. Holly Wheeler.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So for those of us who are listening, who may not know what you do here at the church, what is it that you do here at the church other than be a wonderful wife to Jamal?
That's my number one job.
Yes.
I am really involved in our prayer ministries. I work really well deeply in the intercessory group and the altar ministry. I also am a facilitator of the deliverance, mm-hmm. Which is incredible just to see God helping people walk in freedom. I also get to coordinate and send out the prayer email for our intercessors, and being able to go through that every week is really beautiful to see those testimonies come in and mm-hmm. and see that the prayer working. It's just a really cool place to be. I also get to work with our staff kiddos. I work in the play care during the week, and that is probably one of my favorite things that I do at this point. But yeah, it's pretty much in a nutshell what I do.
No, that's awesome. We had Pastor John on here a few weeks ago, and mm-hmm. he shared a lot about the prayer ministry. So it's cool having you on. And I just really sense that just hearing you and getting tied back to Pastor John, I do feel like the Lord is calling us to a deeper place of mm-hmm. intercession and prayer.
Yes, sir.
As a church and even as a nation.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you're feeling that call, follow that leading. Follow that leading. Okay. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you grow in your prayer life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just really feel that strongly for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Prayer is what moves things.
Amen. Amen. It's so cool because like God doesn't need us in a sense, because he exists apart from us, and he's complete in and of himself, mm-hmm. yet he desires us, and he created us to bring him glory.
Yeah.
And he chooses to allow our prayers to factor into that.
Right. Well, part of it is the entire reason he made us is for relationship. And prayer is not just about us sending petitions up to the Lord. It's about coming into agreement with him. Mm-hmm. It's about being in relationship with him. It's about drawing near. It's the kind of hearing him and him hearing us, mm-hmm. and that's what he wants. And so he set things up to pull us into having conversations with him.
Oh.
And that's why it moves. The father is always going to be moved for the child who comes to just talk mm-hmm. to him.
Amen. Amen.
Every time.
Yeah. And like the most profound moments of my life and personally and then also in ministry have always been tied to prayer, where you're communicating, where I'm communicating to my father and I receive from him.
Yeah.
Or I'm in a place where, you know, I just go forward for prayer, or I ask for prayer and someone prays for me, and and you sense how God is using that person as a vessel.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm flowing to you, and it's coming out of them to you. So it's just this powerful thing that I don't think we can fully encapsulate in words.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we're meant to.
It's true.
But I say all of that to those of you who are listening, who you have these questions about what is this prayer thing, mm-hmm. or how do I grow in it? How do I receive it? It's really just stepping forward and mm-hmm. ask and starts by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And God, what do you want to see happen?
Amen.
What do you want to see happen in this situation? What do you mm-hmm. want to see happen in this time? What do you want to see happen in me?
Yeah.
And just that's why it's like, I just want to come into agreement with what you are doing.
What you are doing. Yes.
Because I could have all the plans in the world, but you have the best one 100% of the time.
Amen. 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 So moving into Sunday, we had Bishop Siddharshan Kamanapali mm-hmm. From MANA Group of Ministries. Really cool to see what the Lord is doing over there. And it is such a gift to have him in our body.
Yes, absolutely. His whole family. I just love him so much.
And I've only been here at the church for, you know, about three-ish years. Mm-hmm. But from the beginning, like I was very much aware of his ministry.
Yeah.
And he has a home with us. We are his home church when he's here in the States. And I love how he takes the time to always, whenever he shares, he calls us back to the move of God going on in the world and in India specifically.
Yeah. Which is all the way on the other side of the world. And
yet
the same God is moving and the same God is working.
Amen.
It's beautiful to see.
Amen. So he brought this message to us, what are you wearing? And so he goes through a different garments. He's asking us to meditate on the question, like, what is your garment? And there's some garments that we need to take off. And then he also mentioned some other garments that we need to put on or that get put on us. Like, he talked about the garment of identity, the garment of position and status, the garment of restoration, the garment of honor, and then closed out with the garment of praise as the key. So before we just get into the discussion, last night I woke up in the middle of the night and I really feel like the Lord woke me up because I was just like, okay, what should I be thinking about? And the parable of the wedding banquet from Matthew 22 came into my head. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't thinking about this message in particular, but that parable, I'll give you guys some homework. You can go and read it. But in that parable, Jesus is talking about how the kingdom of heaven is like a king who is going to throw a wedding feast for his son.
Yes.
The king is God. The son is Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he goes through this whole thing about how they go to those who have invited, which is the Jews, but the Jews reject the messengers. And then finally, the banquet is set, the meal is ready, no one's coming. So the king tells his servants, go out to the streets, gather whoever you can find and bring them in. Just fill the hall with guests. And so the king comes in, he's seeing the guests, and this is in verse 11. He noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. And so that concept of the wedding garment and having the appropriate attire for the wedding feast of the King of Kings.
Yeah.
That was sitting in my head, and I was looking it up. And some commentators say that a ruler at that time would provide wedding clothes for the guests.
And it says that in the parable. He says, call them in from the highways and byways and provide them with items to wear.
Yes.
And so what he wanted him to wear was provided for him.
Right.
It wasn't, you have to bring it.
Right.
You don't have to bring it. This is what's been provided.
Amen. Amen. And that signifies, you know, our salvation, that we come to God and we receive his grace.
Mm-hmm.
But then this man goes in on his own strength, in his own clothes.
Yes,
I'm going in on my own. Like I'm, but that is not sufficient. We have to submit to God, to Jesus for his salvation. And in Revelation, it talks about those who came out of the great tribulation. Like they are the ones who dipped their clothes and washed them in the blood of the Lamb. They were made white.
Yes.
So meditating on that, I just really feel that this is where we need to start this discussion, is that before we look into taking on or putting on these other garments in our life, we must have submitted to the saving grace of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And allow him to clothe us in his garment, that he makes us white. And then it's from this place of relationship that we then walk out with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit reveals to us, hey, you're also carrying this other garment.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to go.
Yeah. And I think even with his points that there's identity, there's position and status, and there's restoration, honor, but the first two, the ones that we're supposed to take off, that identity and that position, Those are counterfeit garments. Yeah. It says, Isaiah says that our garments of righteousness are as filthy rags.
Yes.
But he takes our filthy rags and he makes them white as snow. But if you try and come in with your filthy rags, you are not going to make it. You don't have the right wedding clothes. Mm-hmm. If you try to do it yourself, they will simply be filthy rags. But that is what he gives us. He says, who you are is adopted of the Most High God. That is your identity. Your identity comes from the Father. And then he hands out gifts and he hands out positions and he hands out callings. And then we take those on as accessories to who we are because he's given us the base thing. But if you even think about the priests, they had their simple ephod. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, they had
An ephod?
So an ephod is a very
– We don't know exactly what that is.
It's a simple linen garment, white, very plain. But it was the base that the high priest garments were built upon. The only time that he served before the Lord without his extra extravagant garments was the Day of Atonement when he would come before the Lord and simply – just an ephod. And that's when, like David, when he came in with and he was dancing before the Lord, he was in a simple ephod. He had ripped off his kingly garments. He was in just the very basics. And even Jesus, when he comes back and he's mistaken for a gardener, he was most likely in that simple ephod.
Yeah.
So, like playing before the Lord that this is just who I am. I'm not putting anything extra on. I'm not like Joseph putting on the coat of many colors on top of the basics.
Yep.
Just who I am as before the Lord.
Yeah.
I've been talking to a friend about identity and I said that knowing who, defining who you are based on the things that you do can't be the existence. Who are you when you are naked and bare before the living God? That's who you are. And that's who he breathed you out to be. And that's what he gives you to wear. He says, you by yourself, you're going to mess this up.
Yep.
So here, let me put my righteousness and my salvation on you so that you can be who I designed you to be.
Right.
But we have that habit of, oh, I do this or I do that and that's who I am.
Yep.
Or I have this and I have that and that's who I am. Mm-hmm. We do, that's something that I have to regularly break when going through deliverance sessions is people say, no, I have anxiety. I'm like, well, set it down. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not who you are.
Yeah.
I have depression. I am depressed. Yeah. No, that's not your name.
Yep.
And the enemy's going to try and tell you that's your name over and over. You say, excuse me, that's not my name. My name is daughter of the Most High God. My name is son of the Most High God.
Amen.
That's my identity.
Amen. Amen.
And because the world wants to put all of those coats on you. Even the ones that look good, like Joseph, the father put the favorite coat on him, the coat of many colors. But that's not who he was. That's not who Joseph was. Joseph was so much more than that and so much less than what he thought it meant that he was.
Right.
And God had to walk him through various garments. Siddarshan walks through that.
Yes.
And that he had to lose that garment that gave him position. He said a really great phrase. He said, the garment of identity can very easily become the garment of pride. And I just had to sit there with that when he said
it. No, I agree.
But
I
that's,
agree. Yeah.
That's because, oh, well, I'm this and I'm that. And even, again, in the negative things, we gain pride, especially as millennials, to be honest.
Well, it becomes social currency for attention. Or you get you can even be in a club. Like we define support groups around certain things. And there's definitely a place for that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, it's like we serve a God who calls us into health and he walks us to health. So again, it's knowing that just like Ruth, like there was a time for her to be a widow.
Yeah.
But then the Lord had as Siddharsha says, because of her faithfulness and her obedience, like the Lord was bringing her to a new place,
absolutely, and she had to change her garments. Mm.
And you know, when you were talking about, you know, what you've gleaned from deliverance sessions, where people are they own their diagnosis or they own this brokenness.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the verse is either in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. I can't remember, but it's where he says, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Yeah. And I had heard a pastor explain that that word cast, the Greek word there actually means transfer. So it's not just hold it up before the Lord, but transfer it to Jesus.
Yeah.
Say, Jesus,
hand it over.
You take my anxiety. You took it to the cross. You took all this brokenness to the cross. And so I come into agreement with your sacrifice for the brokenness that either I've put on myself or someone else put on me.
Yep. Absolutely. That's another thing is, well, I'm this because it's been said over me over and over and over again. Even we think about names becoming identities, because that's actually what's spoken over you over and over. And there's a beauty to that. Like my my name, my first and middle name means gracious overcomer. And there's so many times I look at that and go, that looks like an oxymoron. What is that? What have you done to me? But I've walked into situations and things that don't, grace doesn't look like it's what's going to work. That's what overcomes. I walk into situations and I'm like, well, this doesn't look like it should work, but it's what the Spirit of God says, and it works. And you're like, oh, okay. And I've realized that that's what was spoken over me more than anything else in my life, is my name. And I can settle into that. I can settle into, okay, well, this is part of how God put me together. That's why he put that name into my parents' minds when he sent me into the world. And names have so much power.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yet at the end of the day, if I never walked in grace again, if I never overcame anything again, I'm still a daughter of the Most High God. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And if everything else is stripped away, that's who I am. And it doesn't matter what that looks like.
Right.
I could wake up tomorrow and he says, all the things you're doing in ministry, we're not going to do them anymore. Mm-hmm. All of the things that you're doing in this, we're not going to do them anymore. You're going to do this. I was serving in a corporate company for 13 years. And it had become so much a part of how I viewed myself.
Yeah.
And the Lord was like, oh, we gotta let that go. Mm-hmm. I literally was let go of the company on the 13-year anniversary of my hire date. That doesn't even happen. Like, where does that go?
Wow.
And then God was like, okay. And then I didn't work for a year. And then on that same anniversary day, I got paid for a job. It was like totally crazy. And because he took a year to just strip that out of me.
Yep.
He is like, okay, this has become too much a part of your identity. This has become too much a part of how you define yourself.
Yeah.
And I have to completely redo that.
Yep.
And what I'm doing now looks nothing like what I was doing then.
Yep.
But that's totally fine, because who I am is not defined by what I do.
No. And as you're talking and sharing all that, all I'm thinking of is that priest in that ephod, like just that plain garment.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where we should start our day is I'm in my wedding clothes.
Yes.
I'm at the banquet.
Yes.
And that's all I need.
Yeah.
And then God, you want me to, what other mantle or what other garment are you calling me to put on today?
Sir. Yeah.
And I am not anything more or less because of these garments or these callings.
Yeah.
I my status with you is secure.
Yes.
So when I put on the garment of my gifting, like Siddharshan was talking about, you know, people who, like, we're called into ministry and you have a role of a pastor.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's awesome. That's beautiful. And God's going to use you to shepherd people and to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the core of who you are.
That's
in
true.
Jesus.
Absolutely. I've even watched, having been in church my whole life, I've watched ministers like be in something and then God pulls them into a different office.
Right? Yeah.
And like they've been a pastor for 20 years. And then he's like, okay, I got to pull you out of this. I literally have to pull you out of the church you're ministering in, because I need you to sit in the office of the prophet because of the perspective that you have and the heart that you had. I need that heart to proclaim my word. Mm-hmm. And so I have to move you to a different office.
Yeah.
And letting go of that first one, because it's been so defining for them, is a process.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he does that because he wants us to be defined by him, and that's it.
Right, right.
That's the garment he wants us to wear.
Yeah.
That's it right
yeah.
there. Just
yeah.
his identity.
Yep.
Not the identity that we put on or other people
no,
put on us.
No, no. And like there's a whole preparation that we still go through because like we have our flesh that needs to be, you know, circumcised and broken down and refined. Because God does have mantles and giftings for you,
mm-hmm.
but he has the right order and the
yeah.
right timing in
yes.
which to give you those things. And the
Absolutely.
Same way that you give a child an appropriate toy
mm-hmm.
or task
yeah.
for their age, there are times in our life that the Lord's like, okay, now you're ready for this.
Yeah.
If I gave it to you sooner, it would have been too much for you.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have appreciated it, or it would have been... It could have led to your downfall because
yeah.
like you still had more pride or,
yep.
or some other weakness that we had to work through. So it's even trusting the Lord in all of that.
Yeah.
And but starting from that place of, I'm a registered guest at this wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My husband, one of the things he regularly says is you have to be aware when you're gifted that your gifts will always carry you farther than your character can sustain you. Never let them push you past where your character can
yeah.
sustain you, because that's what the enemy's goal is. It's to let that gifting become a defining thing.
Right.
And then that's all that matters. And then we see all of these people falling on their
yep.
faces.
Right, right.
Because their gifting did
right.
make room for
right.
them. But they hadn't put in the work to
right.
build their character,
mm-hmm.
to stay rooted in their identity
right.
and like with the Lord.
And we see that in scripture, even like with Samson.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Over and over.
So just moving through
mm-hmm.
through the message, what was something that really stood out to you?
So I did the mic drop. I already dropped one that your garment of identity can very
mm-hmm.
easily become a garment of pride.
Yeah.
And I think that works in that position concept too, which
mm-hmm.
Sudarshan did kind of like hit on all of those different
yep.
big gifts and how we let those define us. But I think for me, even that he was able to walk through and see the different times of this scripture specifically mentioned their garments. Like we typically just walk right past that.
Yeah.
We miss it over and over, and the Lord is so detailed.
He's extremely detailed.
He's so detailed.
Yeah.
That's something in my school spirit class that I talk about. He's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything you're going to learn about the Lord when you walk through the Feast of
right.
God is how intentional
mm-hmm.
he is, and even how intentional Christ was with his appointed times. Like every detail was intentional, and we know that Christ is the Word. And so
mm-hmm.
walking through scripture, you're going to see that over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just his walking through the garments, it didn't even feel topical to me because it was like an extraction
yes,
of
it was.
Something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about how you have to, Ruth had to put those aside, her widow's garments
yeah.
aside.
Yeah.
And even blind Bartimaeus, I had
mm-hmm.
never noticed
Neither
that.
Did I.
That he threw off his beggar's
yeah.
garment
yeah.
because he knew that Jesus was going to heal him. He
right.
knew it. And he did it. He knew with such confidence that he let go of the thing that defined. Because in those days, what you wore told people what you did.
Yeah.
The beggars had a specific
mm-hmm.
garment.
I would say even today, like you can recognize.
That's absolutely true.
That someone is a beggar. And
mm-hmm.
that it's like, yeah, I stand here on this corner and
yeah.
I clearly want you to see that I need money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But that he threw it off before he was healed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is not who I am.
Yeah.
And that is what happens when we come in yep. contact with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
is that what defined us before gets thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, well, I was a sinner before.
Yep.
But when I come into contact with Jesus, that's no longer who I am.
Yeah.
And that's what repentance is turning and running
mm-hmm.
to his definition and not anything else.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really beautiful that he threw it off even before he was healed.
Yes.
And honestly, he was blind. So he threw it. Who knows where that thing ended up if he can't
right.
see it.
Right. Right.
So he didn't like drag it behind
no,
him.
Just
he just threw
yep.
it aside because he knew that
mm-hmm.
Jesus was going to heal him.
Mm-hmm.
And and that that was going to change what he did, and that could no longer be a defining thing for him.
Right.
He didn't need it anymore because he was walking toward the healer.
Oh, so good.
And I think that's so that good. Is what God consistently with these various garments that we wear, he's asking us to do is throw that off.
Mm-hmm.
Just come before me and let me be your definer.
Amen.
I think that was a really interesting point for me that I was like, oh, I typically I'm a detail girl.
Yeah.
Like I noticed all of those things in scripture and I was like, oh, I missed it.
Right. Right.
And it's just so beautiful.
Yep.
So I think that was a really big one for me. And then when he talked about the garment of honor, that the garment of honor actually what I summarized it is it's actually about how you treat others.
Yes.
That I treat others because I wear the garment. I treat you a certain way because I am honorable.
Yep.
Even if you're not, I'm going to treat you with honor because I'm wearing that garment of honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love one of the things I love about being at HPC is there is so much, even like on Sunday, the amount of honor that was spread around that stage. It was incredible that Zach couldn't help but lay the honor all over Sudarshan.
Yeah.
And then Sudarshan mentioned various people that he put honor toward. And then at the end, he heaped honor on Zach and Ashley. And those moments are what's done behind the scenes everywhere here, over and over again. I'm definitely like a behind the scenes person. Like I can be on the stage. It's totally fine. I did theater. It's just much easier to be someone other than me on the stage.
Yes. Yes.
But the level when people speak to you, it's like, oh no, I recognize the gifting that God has given you, and I recognize your place in the bride, and I value that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a consistent thing to the point that when something else happens, you're like, that's weird. That's not what happens here at HBC. Someone needs to talk to you because that's not the culture that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
You thought they were being disrespectful? That you must have misheard them because that can't have been because they are such an honorable person.
Right.
And it's just, it's a really beautiful place to be.
Amen. Amen. And you know, it all flows from who are we honoring in the room?
Yeah.
You know, you talked about Sunday and, you know, we look at our churches, our core values, and the first thing is we value the presence of God.
Yes.
So everything flows from honoring the presence of God.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus died, is that we could come into that presence, that we could have that, and then the Holy Spirit lives inside of us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, maybe you're listening to this, and I'm sure there are people who are listening to this, and you're struggling even hearing things about this. Like there's something in you where it chafes, like this talk of honor chafes with you. Maybe it's because someone dishonored you or you've dishonored someone else. I don't know what it is, but ask the Holy Spirit to show you that. But again, that same passage where we talk about casting your cares, like Peter said, like go before a few verses, I looked it up. It's 1 Peter 5. You can read that chapter. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up with honor.
Yeah.
So people may have dishonored you, and that can make it hard to hear talk about honor.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I was dishonored, or I've never had that shown to me. So
or seen honor abused.
Right. And it's like, and it's like, I can't get behind that. It's like, get behind what you can get behind. And that is, we all can humble ourselves before God.
Yeah.
And as he shows honor to you, I guarantee your heart will change and you will start to see people differently, and then you will know how to honor them.
Yeah.
And like Jesus taught us this. It's seeing people differently. It's not seeing them through the flesh. It's seeing them through the Spirit, and at the very least that, okay, this person, yes, they are a sinner, but they bear the image of God. Like Jesus said, like, if you only love those who love you, like what reward do you have?
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, Jesus, you're calling me to be honoring and loving and towards someone who I don't love.
Mm.
You know, but yeah. Jesus, like, I'm calling you to more. And that's just one tiny little piece of this. Because then there are people in our lives who they are gracious and good towards us. And our flesh, again, I think we settle into being comfortable and we don't take that extra step of even honoring
mm-hmm.
those in our lives who deserve honor and who we do love.
Yeah.
Like, one of the commandments is honor your father and your mother.
Yeah, it is. It's the first step of when he shifts the perspective from the commandments about God to it's the first one about interacting with others.
Mm.
The very first one that it shifts from, and if even in the first one's talking about God, it's about honoring him and not having other idols, serving no other gods, not using his name in vain. It's about honoring him. And then when he talk for the first thing he does when talking about how you're supposed to interact with humans mm. on that horizontal level,
right.
the first one is honor your father and your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the only one with a promise.
Yes. Yes.
Like that there's a reward in it. That when you walk in honor, you will live long mm. in the land. You will live long in the promises.
Yeah.
And in the dominion that the Lord has given you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And so just as we're wrapping up, he closed out with, so the key to getting rid of these garments and putting on the right ones, it's the garment of praise.
Yes, sir.
So what were some highlights from that? Holy Spirit showing you?
So one of the random small things I get to do that nobody sees me do is for the altar time, Jamal will regularly be like, is there a song from the sermon that you get? Now, Bishop Kamarapali had requested a song, so I didn't get that. But there's this song, I think it's John Wilde sings it, and it's called He Will Restore.
Mm.
And it was such a beautiful thing for me because that last one of the garments that he mentioned is the garment of restoration.
Yes.
And but the bridge in that song is I'll trade the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise.
Yes.
And he just repeats that over and over. And I'm like, this is perfect. And then I was like, okay, it's fine. but I think that the beauty of that is it's actually an identity exchange.
Yeah.
That's what the garment, what that scripture tells us is that you're exchanging that heaviness, that spirit of depression, that mm-hmm. spirit of weariness, and giving you a garment of praise. And I think that praise is part of your identity.
Yeah.
That's what you're designed to do, is to bring glory to God and enjoy him forever. Like, that's it.
Amen.
At its basics.
Yes.
In deliverance ministry, I tend to look at this because depression is such a big thing that people give it into. And you have to understand the enemy is always after something mm-hmm. when he sends a spirit toward you.
Yeah.
He's always after something. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you have a praise in you that needs to be released, the first thing he's going to send your way is heaviness. The first thing he's going to do is send you, just make you too tired to open your mouth. He's going to be like, oh, well, is God even worth that praise?
Wow. Yep.
The world is so awful. Why mm-hmm. would you even mm-hmm. look at that? How could you give God glory mm. in all of this mess?
Mm.
Because he does not want you to wear that garment of praise. He wants to remove that. He wants you to let go of it. Even though that's the one you're supposed to be wearing. And God's like, okay, well, give me that. Give me that ugly thing that you've been holding on to. Give me that heaviness. And I'll give you the garment of praise.
Yep.
And when you are walking in praise, it's very difficult to walk in depression.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking in thanksgiving, it's mm-hmm. very difficult to walk in anxiety.
Yep.
Because it's literally you're wearing different clothes.
Yes.
You're
yes.
wearing different yes. clothes.
Yep.
And so you have to, it's like you have to set this one aside in order to put the other one on. And so that's part of why it's the key.
Right.
That's why praise is the key, is because it's an easy way to see, okay, this is an exchange.
Mm.
Okay, this is an exchange. I don't, so if I'm dealing with insecurity, the enemy is going to be like, oh, well, then put on a garment of confidence, put on a garment of pride to cover up your insecurities.
Right. Yeah.
And God's like, no, the opposite of insecurity is security. It's rest. Mm-hmm. It's being connected to the foundation. That's what the opposite is. Yeah. That's the garment you're supposed to be wearing. You don't have to wear these other things. And yeah, that's what I would say is, what are you, the tagline I would put on the sermon title, it's what are you wearing and what should you be wearing?
That's awesome.
Like, what should you be wearing? What do you need to let go of?
Yeah. Amen.
Are you supposed to be wearing it?
Well, it's been awesome having you. Thank you for joining us and sharing what the Holy Spirit showed you.
Absolutely.
You mind just closing us out in prayer?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Abba, we thank you. We thank you that you are our definer, that you are the one who gives us identity. We thank you that we are in the midst of the revival of the Father, because you are reviving our identities back to what you designed us to be. We thank you for continuing to reveal to your body what garments we need to lay aside, what garments we've chosen to be our definers instead of your word and your will and your way. We ask that your Holy Spirit would come and would convict and reprove us. We also ask for the revelation of the garments you would have us put on, the ones that we've been scared to put on, and the ones that we didn't think we were worthy of. Father, we thank you for the garments that you offer us, that you are coming back for a bride who is pure and spotless, but we didn't get that dress on our own. You gave that dress to us. So we thank you. We thank you for that. We do also thank you for Bishop Kamana Pali and Dr. Asha, his wife, and his daughters. Mm. We thank you for being with them. We thank you as they are ministering in India, and as they are ministering in the States, that you would be their protector, God, that they would be able to stand inside the refuge of your name. We thank you for miraculous protection for the pastors in India who are walking through what they're walking through. We thank you for blessing Mana Ministries and turning your face toward them, giving them your attention, God. We know that you are aware of us. We know that you are all-knowing. We know that that you care about the details. We ask that you would turn your face and you would keep them.
Jesus.
You would be their protector. You would be their defender, God, no matter what rises up against them. We thank you for discernment and for wisdom and discretion to be poured out on the church in India right now. We thank you for blessing them again, that the words that he and the honor that he poured forth on Sunday, that it would be heaped back upon him. Amen. That as he released the revelation that you gave him, that you would increase the revelation that you were giving to him. We thank you for all these things. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much.
I pray forever.
No. No worries.
That's what I do.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us. And to those of you who are listening, stay encouraged in the Lord. Put on the garment of praise, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on hope.